We have another scene here with Jesus, the risen Jesus, and his disciples. And it might be a good... Oh, here, I dropped this thing here. That's no good. It might be a good thing to ask ourselves, what exactly is a disciple? And I remember when I was young, I always knew that the disciples were the people who followed Jesus, but I guess I had a mixed up disciple with apostle. And there were more than 12 disciples. There were 12 apostles, but there were more than 12 disciples. The apostles were specially chosen disciples to go out and on the church. But disciples there were more, and we are called to be disciples, just like they were. And we are called. Jesus calls us. And a disciple is one who is, if you will, under the discipline of the mentor, of the leader. That meaning he wants what that person has. And that's what we are called to do. We are called to want what Jesus has and to want what Jesus gives to us. And this week, as I was reading, I came upon somebody wrote about this, and let's see, here we are. All right. I found it. Yeah, somebody was writing about this, and there was four aspects of being a disciple of Christ, especially. And that is that the call comes from God. It is not that we are looking around and we see, oh, there's Jesus. Oh, yeah, let's go follow him. No, Jesus calls us. God writes that even in the Old Testament. He writes how he knows us before we were begotten in the womb. In fact, if we existed in the mind of God from all eternity. That's the way God's mind works. And we were always intended to be his followers. We were created to be his followers. We are created, and so we are called by God to be his followers, and Jesus calls us in his own special way. Each of those apostles were called in their own special way, and that's how we are called too. We are called to answer in different ways in that sense. We are not all called to be what the apostles were, but we are all called to be disciples of Christ. And it says that we are converted and transformed by the person of Jesus. Awareness of the need of forgiveness and of the power of God. We have to be, as disciples of Christ, we are called to be converted by Jesus, not just to sort of acknowledge him as a good, you know, that's a good thing, but we are called to be converted and transformed, being aware that part of that is that we need forgiveness. We need forgiveness. We have to, part of our transformation is, you know, we talk about humility a lot. And, well, some people do anyway. And humility in one sense, in this sense, I think, is not saying that we're no good, but just recognizing that we need God. That's a humbling thing. We want to do things on our own. We want to do things by our own initiative and according to our own plan and everything. And you know, certain things in life we can do, but as far as just life in general, we have to recognize that we need God. If we are going to be a disciple of Christ, we need Christ. We need God in our life. And we need to recognize that part of that comes from forgiveness. We cannot, if you will, pull us up by ourselves by our own bootstraps and, you know, and leave sin behind. We need Christ to do that. And we have to recognize that he can transform us. He wants to change us into the people that he made us to be. He wants to free us from sin. We sometimes think of sin as being freedom and license and everything else. Sin is not freedom. Sin is slavery. He wants to free us from sin and transform us into the people he wants us to be. And it's a Total commitment. This is the hard one, I always say. Whenever I talk about life of Christ, in Christ, total commitment to renounce anything that leads away from the Lord, and a firm dedication toward the integration of one's faith in the manner of living. In other words, being a disciple means committed to becoming, to changing our lives according to, you know, we talk about, when I'm in the ordination, we talk about commitment to transform our lives after the pattern of Christ, to live as Christ lived, to love as Christ loved. But it's not just me as a priest that's called to do that. It's all of us. That's also in the when the promises made by a communion minister. Our communion minister has all made that promise as well. And I always say, when I ask that question, I always say, this is the hard one. And that is the hard one. Commitment, as it says, renounce anything that leads away from the Lord. That's a lot. That's the entire, that's in many ways the way of the world. The way of the world is to lead us away from the Lord. And that's a hard thing, because it goes against everything that the culture tries to teach us in some ways. But things that lead, if they lead, if we renounce the things that lead us away from the Lord, what does that mean? We're taking on the things that lead us to the Lord, aren't we? And those things are things that give us life. That, you know, life in Christ is life. This is the gospel of life. This is life in its fullness. And so what we are renouncing is those things that lead us into sin and lead us into a life away from Christ, which is not life at all, really. But firm dedication toward the integration of one's faith in the manner of living. That is important, because it means that our faith becomes something that we live, not just something that we practice. You know, one of the commentators that I read this week, he always wants to challenge people that they say, well, I think I'm a good Catholic. And he says, why do you think you're a good Catholic? He says, because I come to Mass. Well, that's a beginning, certainly, but that's a beginning. Because even if we come to Mass, we come to Mass, coming to Mass is not the totality of our faith. Coming to Mass is like our weekly meal, if you will. Being a good Catholic means living as Christ lived, loving as Christ loved, and as it says, making our faith the way that we live. This is like the meals that we gather. This is food for us. This is we gather strength from one another in the community. We especially gather strength from the food that we receive. We have young people this whole weekend receiving communion for the first time, and as I said, this is a wonderful thing. This is why the main reason that I became Catholic myself is that I wanted this food, because this food is Jesus himself. And Jesus offers us not just as a ceremony or anything else, he offers us this as food to strengthen us to do all these things, to become his disciples. This is the food, just as the food that we eat strengthens our bodies, gives us the energy and things to live our life, this food gives us the strength to live our faith. And as I say, you know, when I teach RCIA, a lot of people talk about First Communion as one of the sacraments of initiation. And it is part of the initiation of coming into the church, yes, receiving First Communion. But a sacrament of initiation is something that you celebrate to become part of the church. And the implication is that it's a one-time thing when you say that. Baptism and confirmation, they are both one time. We don't repeat either one. In fact, even if you're baptized outside, even in another Christian community, if you're baptized using the right, using the right way, we don't have to repeat it even if you join the church. But First Communion, while being a part of coming into the church, is not intended to be just part of initiation. It's intended to be the first. Imagine, if you will, you just celebrated your first meal when you're born. Okay, I have one meal. That's it. Okay, that's all I need. No, that's not going to last very long. And our faith isn't going to be too strengthened if we just receive communion once. Communion is intended to be ongoing. It unites us to everyone, is to keep us united to Christ as we go through life, dedicated toward integrating our faith into our manner of living. In other words, patterning our lives after Christ. And so that's an important thing to remember. And then to remember, too, that, as I say, our faith is not just in here. The disciples, as Jesus dismissed the disciples, he said, go spread the gospel. And as we leave here, we are told, go spread the gospel, go in the peace of Christ, go, one of the dismissals that I like to use says, go glorifying the Lord by your life. That very last thing that we receive, it's not just a blessing, it's a blessing and a commission. Go into the world and proclaim the gospel. Now, we are not called necessarily to preach. If we are called to do that, that's fine too. But we are called to, we spread the gospel by the way we live. And that's an important part. So that's why I say our faith is not just what we do in here. It's what we live. It's a life of faith. And so, indeed, this is something, a special time to receive communion for the first time, and every time is a wonderful thing, because each time we are receiving Jesus. We are receiving Christ. Christ gives himself to us and offers himself for us so that we may live free from sin, free from death. Live in the freedom of God's children. And so, indeed, it is something that to celebrate first time, every time, receiving Jesus, receiving food for life in Christ.